We've been talking through a sort of a thematic idea about being all in, pursuing a life of radical surrender to Jesus Christ and following Him with all of our hearts. When you think about being all in, sometimes you think about working harder, doing more things, and granted, nothing ever changes in your life without effort. So effort is a good thing, but I'm not trying to, like a football coach would or something, I'm not trying to get you to run more laps and work harder and to read your Bible 24 hours a day. You know, all these things that God does in our lives flow out of our surrendered relationship with Him. What I'm trying to get you to do is make a mental and volitional decision to say, God, You're the most important thing in my life. I am all in to follow You with all of my heart, and what You tell me to do and what You have for me, reading scripture, going to church, joining a small group, all these kinds of things, they flow out of that strong relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're going to be all in, if you're going to have that relationship capture all of your heart, we need to have a discussion about time, okay? Time is sort of an innocuous thing that controls our life. If you look up the definition of time, it's really kind of weird. It says in the dictionary, an indefinite continued progress of existence or events. Sounds kind of harmless, right? But if you're like me, what happens is I assign personality to time. Like time has its own personality and it's out to get me. I just don't have enough time. I can't figure out how to make time. I can't figure out how to multiply the time so that I can do more things. Time could be a certain period, a season of events, or a specific event. And I think that assigning personality to time is a mistake, theologically. Because time is just what it is. It is, and it always exists, and it always will be. And it's really not good or bad. It's what we do with it that makes the difference, right? And what's cool about time is it's a leveling kind of idea. We all have the same amount of time. Like, your day is not longer than my day. Our day is just the same. It's what we do with that day and expressing our love for God that I think is really, really important. So, fortunately, we worship a God of the universe that's not bound by time at all. We as human beings don't know what this is. We're controlled by it. We're limited by it, by time. And God moves in and out of time, past, present, and future, in all dimensions of life. And that's pretty cool. We don't do that, but He views time as a tool to help us grow and to do good things for Him, and to follow Him with a devoted heart. So that's where the discussion is going to be today. We're in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we're talking about the issue of time and how God views it and how we can use it to pursue a closer relationship with God. Let me pray for us before we jump in. Father, thank You for the gift of time. Time to be here, to worship, to sing songs, to listen to Your word being read, to pray, to fellowship with one another as a family. Father, we're grateful for the time that You've given us. Help us understand not only the nature of time, but how it is a gift and how it should be used and lived for Your glory and for things that are really, really important, not wasted on things that don't matter that much. Help us understand these things. Help us grow in our understanding of You, Jesus. We can't thank You enough for Your life, Your sinless life that You live for us, Your death on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, Your resurrection to conquer sin and death and give us forgiveness and eternal life. Holy Spirit, we're so thankful for Your work indwelling our hearts when we believe in You, when we believe in Christ, and having the ability to give us the power to make changes in how we use our time. Give us the ability to understand Scripture. So Holy Spirit, speak to us now. May this time be understood that we have today as precious. And may we really listen and respond to what You're saying to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, I've been starting off with these phrases to sort of describe where we're headed. It's a little bit of a mouthful, but you can write this down if you're taking notes. I'll read it to you a couple of times. Being all in means living in the knowledge and the freedom that time is finite, fleeting, and completely controlled by God. Time is finite, fleeting, and completely controlled by God. But there's a freedom to that. There's a freedom of knowing that you don't control everything in the universe, that it's not all your responsibility. God moves in and out of time, and He controls everything. The thing about time that's interesting is when you get older, I don't know if it's just physically and mentally it feels like it or not, but time seems to go faster the older you get. And I just was noticing this the other day. Yesterday afternoon, I was playing with my grandkids on the on a playground, and I was swinging the nine-month-old and tickling his knees, and he was cackling and laughing. And the two-year-old, I was running around trying to follow him, make sure he didn't get hurt and those kinds of things. And I was thinking, gosh, you know, I'm a grandfather. And it just seemed like yesterday I was doing this with my own kids. You know, and now my youngest is 16 going on 17 and 6'1", and it's like hugging this strange man, you know. It's like not my cute little kid that was always so small and little. It's actually another man. It's another human being that's grown up. Where's the time going? And the thing about time is once it's used, you don't get it back. You can never, like, reverse time and say, hey, you know what? I think I was a pretty good parent, but I'd like to change some things. Let me go back and raise my kids again. That can't happen. It just can't happen. Let me go back and work on my marriage more and not make the same mistakes. You know what? It can't happen. Time goes. All we can do is interrupt where we are, learn from the past, and say, God, may my time with you make an eternal difference now. May I change how I view it. And being all in means that I recognize that time's fleeting and controlled by God, and it's finite, and once it's gone, it's gone. All right? So the first idea that we're going to talk about out of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is this. God is ultimately involved in all aspects of human existence. Okay? He's ultimately involved in all aspects of human existence, including time. I'm in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heaven. So God has a perfect plan and a perfect time for all the things that happen for all of us. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. And most people think that's an image of stones and property lines and investments and those kinds of things. So a time to accumulate wealth and a time to sort of get rid of it, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak. This word for silent, I've always liked the Hebrew word here. It has to do with literally having your lips sewn shut so that you can't speak. We could use that tool more often than not sometimes, you know, either on ourselves or with other people. A convenient thing to have, but there's a time to actually shut your mouth and a time to actually speak. A time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid upon men. Okay, so there's a literary figure that you don't necessarily need to know the name of, but if you want to use it in a crossword puzzle sometime, it's called Merismus. Merismus, and it's basically a literary figure that takes extremes to describe absolutely everything in between. Okay, so that's what I've just done for you there. I've used that literary figure, reading it out loud, where we're talking about all of human existence, a time to live, a time to die, a time to speak, a time to be silent, all those kinds of things. And he's using this to frame out and say, look, all existence is not something that you can control or something you can create a gain for or a surplus of. It is what it is. It rolls forward. You can't stop it. And that's sometimes a heavy burden on us. Remember this phrase for heavy burden? We talked about it last week. It talks about God allowing us to feel a sense of pain and awareness of our sinfulness, of our brokenness, so that we will depend upon Him. When we look at time, we feel a heavy burden of missed opportunities, of things that we wish we could do over again. And rather than that burden being a depressing one, you should look at it and say, God, thank you for being heavy with me, so to speak. Thank you for showing me that I'm finite and time is fleeting, because I don't want to waste my opportunities to get to know you and to help others as well. So this is a general description of all existence. And he's basically saying we can't control it. This is what time is, and God's in charge of it. And what that means for me is I can live with a sense of I can live with a sense of surrender and not feeling anxiety, because if God's in control of everything, if He weaves in and out of the time-space continuum and all dimensions of life, I can really trust Him that He knows what He's doing, even if I don't understand it. Okay? So I can live my life with a sense of control and pressure, and I've only got 24 hours, and I better work 12 of those 24 hours, then I need tried to say I need like 7 hours of sleep. That's changed over the years of my time on earth. It used to be like 4 or 5. Now it's 7 or 8. Kids shouldn't go to school early, but, you know, going to school late, they can sleep in, they'll be healthier. People are discovering new aspects of how to use time. Rather than me trying to figure all that stuff out, I can say, God, time is yours. My life is yours. And I want to experience the freedom of going through time without so much pressure. Feeling like I've got to do everything at every second, at every moment, in order to make things work. I think about this with my kids. You know, how many opportunities did I miss to help my kids grow in their relationship with God? I don't know. I had to have missed some. I'm a human being. I make mistakes. I can think of a few things that I should have done. But guess what? Rather than beating myself up knowing that I messed up, how about I look at time as a gift and say, God's in control of it. He even used my mistakes. So here's the deal. I'm going to trust Him from now forward to set new times with my kids, new conversations with them. It's never too late to help them grow or to experience good things in life or to work on that relationship. There's freedom that comes from knowing that God's in charge and He can use us to do good things. It's not supposed to be pressure-packed. Let's face it, Job 42:2. If you know this chapter in this verse, it says, no one can thwart the purposes of God. God's in control of time. He gives us free will and we make choices and there's all kinds of consequences, but He's even umbrella controlling all of that, and no one can thwart the purposes of His will. And we need to take time as fleeting and as a gift, but not this pressure-packed idea that I got to constantly frantically run around doing the best that I can. I think God uses time and uses freedom to help us with these things. Let me read you a section out of the book of Acts. This talks a little bit about sort of this time and God being in control issue. Acts 17. Let me read verse 24. It says, verse 24, the God who made the world and everything in it, the Lord of heaven and of earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. Okay, He can't be controlled. He can't be put in a box, in a sanctuary, in a room, or anything like that. And He is not served by human hands as if He needed anything, because He Himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. So we don't have life, we don't have breath, we don't have existence without Him. He doesn't need us for anything, but He's created us out of a love for us. From one man, He made every nation of men, and that they should inhabit the whole earth. And He determined the times set for them, right? And exact places where they should live. God's in control of these kinds of things. It's not a fatalistic kind of control where our free will doesn't make any difference. But it's that sovereignty of control and timing, and God's in charge. And don't worry so much about things. Trust Him. Surrender to Him and allow Him to show you how to utilize your time in the best way possible. Right? It's the first idea. The second is this. God has created us to enjoy life and to do good with the time that He gives us. God has created us to enjoy life and to do good with the time that He gives us. We're going to be reading here in a moment here, this next section of Ecclesiastes. But if you are anything like me, I grew up in a religious tradition where if you enjoyed yourself too much, something was wrong. Okay, so you're actually sort of sinning by having too much fun. Being a Christian is supposed to be straight-laced and sober and don't laugh and don't clap in church and, you know, don't say life is good because, you know, life isn't good. You know, it's solid duty and obedience to God. And so I had to learn to grow to be sort of free and say, it's actually okay to have fun. In fact, God invented fun. God invented enjoyment and satisfaction and pleasure and those kinds of things. I'm not going to be hard on you guys. You guys had a tough night on Thursday night with the Patriots losing and my team winning. And God be praised, He's still in charge of the universe. So I'm thankful that we got a chance to win. I wish we could win when it mattered, you know, like in the playoffs or something. But that's a whole other story. Here's the deal. I struggled sometimes. I got a chance to go to the game. But in my brain before that game, I was struggling and said, you know what, I probably should just maybe work. Going to the game is, you know, that's, I know it'll be fun, but you're not supposed to have that much fun as a Christian. Where does that come from? It doesn't come from God. It comes from my background and this voice in me saying, I'm not doing enough for God, and God only loves me if I do things. So what did I do? I just went with God to the game and had a great time. You know, I don't know if you've ever been to the Patriots game, but this was really cool. I mean, we were in this stadium, 70,000 people. They dropped a banner on the 5th Super Bowl. By the way, 5 Super Bowls? You guys are a pain. That's amazing. Five Super Bowls, fireworks going off everywhere, people screaming where you couldn't hear yourself. It was really fun. It was fun sitting with the staff. We went together, and it was fun laughing and cheering and stuff like that. Everybody was mad at Roger Goodell for last year's season and what he did to Tom Brady, and so they had these clown noses, and we were all wearing clown noses and looking around. I mean, it was silly, but it was fun. And God created that kind of thing. And you know what? You're never going to get a good, rounded, healthy view of time if you can't let yourself have some fun. If you can't just enjoy certain things of life and appreciate what God has done. So let me read this a little bit more scripturally here. Verse 11, it says, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, He has made everything beautiful in its time. So not only is creation beautiful and well-made and good, like he says in the book of Genesis, but he has a way of having things happen at just the right time so that you can appreciate his sovereignty over time and the beauty and the plan that he has. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. God has put this desire for us to know the creator of the universe and to live not only enjoyment in this life, but to live beyond this life. And because of that eternity, that image that's in our hearts, we're just bent towards trying to grasp something beyond ourselves and never being satisfied with anything but a relationship with God. It's also the thing inside of us that if you've been reading some of the stories about all that's going on in Houston and people helping everybody and those kinds of things, even people that don't follow Christ have eternity in their hearts and they desire to do good. They recognize that time is short. I might as well serve. I need to do something to help those that are in need and not think about myself all the time and live selfishly. This is something that God has done in all of us. Verse 11 really talks about that idea. Verse 12 says, I know that there is nothing better. This is God's sort of plan for us, right? I know there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live. It's a pretty profound kind of idea. This isn't like hedonistic happiness. I live only for myself. I don't care about anyone else. But this has to do with being satisfied and content in the understanding of time and the creation that God has made us, right? He's placed us at this point, and he says, I want you to enjoy the gifts that I have given you, work, pleasure, all those kinds of things, and I want you to do good while you can, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction, not the hedonistic selfishness, but satisfaction in all his toil. This is a gift of God. It's a gift to live in the recognition of God's beauty. He's marked us in his own image, and he wants us to enjoy things in life. But true enjoyment, lasting satisfaction, only comes by having a relationship with Jesus Christ and knowing God the way that he created things and not living on your own terms. And it's amazing if you'll let yourself concentrate on your relationship with God as the most important thing in your given day, how he manufactures and helps you understand time and opportunities to enjoy things and time to do good and those kinds of things. It's almost like enjoying and doing good to others and for God, it balances things out. If it's too much service but you never have any fun, that's not good. But if it's too much fun and you never serve, that's also not good. It's a balance. It's a pendulum swing of trying to balance in between those extremes and saying, God, use me to do good, but help me have fun along the way. Help me be satisfied with the things of you and not things that I want in my own desires. What do you guys do besides work? I mean, I'll just talk to the men. I should talk to the women too, but men, I'm better at that because I am one of you. What do you do besides work? There was a time in my life where I looked and I thought, you know what? I don't have any hobbies. I don't really have any fun. I don't go for walks. I don't go for hikes. I just work. And I don't think that's how God designed us. Granted, there's a sense of urgency. You don't want to waste your life. But it's that balance of enjoying what God has done for you and then doing good and allowing him to help you with that balance that makes life so fulfilling. So I started, years ago, I started kayaking. I started walking. I started working puzzles. All really good Christians work jigsaw puzzles. That's just, it's in there somewhere. I don't know, but it's in there in the Bible. So we believe that. And I started not being controlled by my recreational habits because you can go overboard by having fun, can't you? like, you know, football games and golf or whatever can be more important than your family, okay? So that's not what God intended, right? You know, it's not fun at the expense of my family, but it's a balanced effect of doing good and enjoying things. And I'm just asking you, do you understand this principle? The understanding of it comes by dedicating your life to Christ. It doesn't come by fathoming who God is. We can't understand the exact nature of God. He's too great for us. But we can glimpse who He is by reading Scripture and by learning these things. And He loves us and He wants us to be satisfied in life. He wants us to enjoy our work, but He also wants us to do good in a balanced way. So I could ask you a different question. What are you better at? Are you better at doing good and serving others? Or are you better at having fun and living for yourself? Remember those extremes? We want to stay away from those extremes, right? All of us have our tendencies. Mine was probably work and no fun. Maybe yours is, hey, I have lots of fun, but you never serve or you never work. You know, you actually are here to do good for others, not just enjoy the life that God has given us. So that's a principle that I think we learn here. It flows throughout the New Testament. It's a principle in the character of God. When God created the universe and when He created the earth and when He created the animals, what did He say? He said it's good after each day. He also said it's okay to rest. He created a Sabbath day to recognize that rest. We need to learn these things so that we can incorporate them in our lives. So He's involved in all aspects of time. That should free us up from this sense of anxiety and control. He wants us to enjoy things and to do good in a balanced way. And that comes from God and knowing who He is and allowing Him to teach you these things. And then this last little idea I think is important. It kind of sums it up. While we have time, we should revere God and invest in eternity. Okay? This is the balanced way of living life. While time exists, yes, fun and doing good is sort of our marching orders and our mission, but the ultimate sort of perspective on that is the fear and the awe of who God is, revering Him and investing in things that are going to last, not things that are just going to go away and not necessarily make a long-term difference. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. It says, I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. Okay, so that's just a statement that you need to ponder for a second. Everything that God does and is involved in lasts forever. So the things that we're involved in with God and the life and that He's living here and the things that He wants us to do, those things will endure forever. God does it so that men will revere Him, so that men will worship Him and be in awe of who He is and honor Him, not live a life of control and self-effort, but a life of submission and surrender and an understanding that God is greater than we are. And so the things that God does and the things that God wants us to do for Him, those are the things that have enduring value, not the things that we do in our own strength. James 4 gives us a perspective on time that you're probably familiar with towards the end of your New Testament. Okay, so it's ways back, right after the book of Hebrews, if you run into that. James 4 says this, verse 13. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this city or spend a year there or carry on business and make money. Why do you not even know, why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? You know, why do you live so arrogantly? What is your life? You are a mist, and it appears for a little while and it vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this and that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. So he's arguing, you don't control your time. Yes, make plans. He's not saying just exist like some slug and do whatever. You can plan, you can organize, you can dream dreams, but you hold all those things loosely and you say, I will do this if you want me to, God. I will do this if you would like me to do this. And you control time, I don't. But I have a desire that since I have this gift of time, I have this moment of life, this day to live, I want to do the things that will last, not the things that won't. It's interesting how we can try really hard to do something, and then sometimes if we let just God do His own thing, it works better than sometimes our human effort. And again, I'm not saying effort is ever bad. I have a desire personally to share Jesus Christ with as many people as I can before I die. Okay? I know I'm not going to be able to save all of Westboro or all of Massachusetts or New England or the world. I can't do it on my own. He didn't design one person to do all this, but I'm trying to help you guys understand the nature of what life is like and that time is a gift. And so I want you to join me on this journey to share Christ with as many people as you can while you breathe, right? But sometimes even doing something good can involve a lot of self-effort, and you can drive yourself crazy rather than praying and trusting God that He's in control of time and He can do things that you can't. So I'll give you an example. I've been praying for, and I just won't use his name, but I've been praying for my English friend. He's from England, so I call him my English friend. I've been praying for him for 4 years now, and I've been interacting with him at different events. I've been talking to him. He's a strong atheist, and we laugh about things. His language is just unbelievably bad, but it's okay. I still love him anyway. I just try not to have it rattle around in my brain too long after I talk to him. And I was thinking the other day, okay, I've known this guy for 4 years. I'm just not doing enough to help him understand who the Lord is. I gotta call him up. I gotta have an appointment with him. I gotta get in his face and manufacture this opportunity. But I couldn't figure out the right time to call as a complete stranger. I mean, we know each other, we see each other and we say hi and we have a brief conversation. But basically, we're not friends, and it's going to freak him out. I know, hey, this is Pastor Derek. I mean, I know when a pastor calls, you usually feel guilty, even if you know the Lord. You know, I mean, it's something about my job that causes people to feel guilty, and I'll come back to church, whatever. I mean, I'm not the attendance police. I'm not the one that's supposed to be after you all the time, but it comes with the territory, right? So I couldn't figure out how to make this call and spend time with them without making it weird. So finally, I just said, I'm tired of the anxiety. I'm tired of trying to figure this out. I'm going to enjoy my life and not let this thing ruin my life. But God, you got to do something. You got to do something. And this last week, guess what he did? I randomly, quote, randomly, at the Westboro Town Hall, place where you pay your bills and stuff like that, and at Starbucks, I ran into this guy twice in 1 week. Hadn't seen him hardly at all for 2 or 3 years, just sporadically. But I ran into him twice, and we had 2 really good conversations. And now it's not so weird. I can call him up, and we can have coffee, and we can extend our conversation. It's cool what God does, right? So the difference was, it wasn't me controlling and manufacturing, and I'm running out of time, and time's going by, and I got to do this. It was me saying, God, you're in control of time. I have this desire. I don't know how to make it happen, so I surrender to you, and I said, will you do something to help this work? Hey, English guy, how you doing? Funny running into you here. You know, and it was F this and F that, but whatever. You know, I mean, we were there, and we talked about things and kids and stuff like that. And anyway, I'm just trying to draw the nuance for you that time is a gift. Time is controlled by God. God wants us to enjoy the blessings of life that He's given us and knowing that we're forgiven and that we have hope. But He also wants us to do good. But that doing good isn't driving yourself crazy. What it is relaxing in that relationship with God and just saying, I have this desire. Will you make this work out? And He does. He just does if that's the desire of your heart. All right? So let me just ask you a couple of questions here to make sure you understand this. As we kind of wind down what we're doing, I want us to view time as a gift, all right? I want us to view time as a gift to be used to enjoy God, but also to do good, to serve others. I want us to recognize that a day is a gift of God, and it should be used for enjoyment, but it also should be used for doing good. And are you really doing that, okay? When you think about your growth curve and your Christian life and your understanding of who Christ is, are you really embracing the fact that time is precious and finite, but don't drive yourself crazy with it and put pressure on yourself, but you still should want to do good every day? And are you asking God, show me what I could do? What's the good that you want me to do today? What's the service you want me to do today? Will you show me what's happening in my life? And I believe that He has different ways for all of us to serve, okay? You don't have to serve the way I do. You don't have to share your personal faith in Christ the way that I do. But He's told all of us that we're pastors and priests. He's told all of us that we're supposed to be involved in sharing our faith and in acts of service. Are you serving? Are you using time to grow in your relationship with God? Are you involved in a small group Bible study where you're getting to know people that can help you do more things that are good? Are you is this life of surrender what you want? I'm just asking, because this is where joy and balance and satisfaction and God using you and doing good, this is where it all comes from, is centering your life in Christ and saying, it's you first, everything else is second. It's you, Jesus. I love you. Show me how I can do good and how I can enjoy things. All right? That's all the time I want to talk to you about this stuff. God's given us a gift of time, right? So let's reflect upon this. Let's continue to worship the Lord. Let me pray for us, and then we'll wind things down. Father, thank you for the clarity of your word that talks to us about the finite nature of life and time. It talks about your love for us, your desire to bring things, that heavy burden into our life to help us recognize that you're in charge and we're not. Father, I don't know what everyone struggles with, but for me, you know, it was feeling pressure to work all the time and never have any enjoyment in your creation and the beautiful world that you made. And thank you for giving me freedom and joy in that and freeing me up to say that it's okay to go on a hike. It's okay to go to a dumb football game and laugh. It's okay just to enjoy things and even rest and that kind of stuff. And so that was my issue. Somebody else's issue might be that, or it might be, Father, they're just living selfishly and having fun. They're not even thinking about service as much as they could. And so, Father, would you convict us all where we're at, and would you give us a desire to put you in control of our time, to view time as a gift, to never waste a day in your presence, but a day of, could be growing closer to you, it could be spending more time with our kids, it could be building a relationship with our kids or friends that are broken, but it can be redeemed, it can be reclaimed, it could be anything that you call us to do by your Spirit, but help us use time as important and valuable and something that will bring great honor and glory to your name. We pray for all the programs that are starting tonight, the brigades and the gyms and all the Bible studies and the student ministry, middle schoolers, high schoolers. Would you use this time to really transform people and transform families and bring hope and bring beauty back into our world that you created but that was so marred by sin? And Father, if there's one here that has never taken the time to say, Jesus, I need you. I'm sorry for what I've done. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. If they've never made that initial decision, I pray that they would do so in the quietness of their heart and just say, Jesus, help me, please. I need you. I've made a mess of time. I've made a mess of my life. We've all been there, Lord, and I pray that you would draw people into that relationship with you that don't know you. Thanks for what you're doing, Lord, and we'll praise you forever. And we love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.